Hello, everyone. D-Ray Crane here for another episode of Cautious Coffee. I'm here with Austin Statton, my main man, and Justin Cade. He's back for another episode. This is episode 16 of Cautious Coffee, and today we are talking about children's, kids, family. You know, the stuff that's all soft and mushy.
Are you talking about their diapers?
Diapers. No, thank you. But first, Cautious Coffee. You can find us at cautiouscoffee.com. Find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. Buy some merch. There's plenty of it. I think we have so much of it, we would really like to sell it. So please, feel free. Go out. Get yourself a coffee cup and a few shirts, tank tops. Sun's out, guns out. I'm going to wear a tank top on the next episode.
Do it, please.
Doing it. All right, Austin. Justin. Austin doesn't have children.
I don't. Not that I'm aware of.
Justin does.
Not that I'm aware of.
I have a child. So, at a different stage in life. So, I think we're gonna cover a few of the bases anyway. We don't have any grown children, so we can't get like to home plate. But we can get to third. How's it feel not having a child, Austin?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I can travel wherever. It's kind of like dogs, right? Sorry, I hate insulting anyone with kids, but if you want to go on a trip, right? You've always got to find somebody to watch your dog or something like that. Or come by and feed your dog while you're gone, take him out for walks. Kids at that level of responsibility, probably tenfold, right? I mean, you got to feed them, you got to educate them. So I would say that, D-Ray, you're a huge fan of freedom. I think having no kids at this time is freeing.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that, Austin. And you know, part of me envies it, and I tell young people, you know, my girlfriend's 22, okay? She is a baby. She wants babies. She comes from a big family, huge family, loves children. But right now, she just has, like, this romantic idea of what that is. Doesn't understand that it's brutal for those first couple of years, and you mentioned dogs. I think dogs are far more needy.
Yeah, you gave up a dog after, like, what? 2-3 months.
children become, it was like 6 months. Children become self-sufficient. And you can say, hey, go brush your teeth or go get ready for bed. You can't really do that with a dog. A dog is, you know, needs you to open the door. They don't have thumbs.
So that actually reminds me of a story. I was babysitting probably about 2-3 months ago for my niece and nephew. They're probably, nephew just turned 4. Niece, she's about 18-19 months. She turns 2 in October. Maybe my math is off. I guess that puts her at 22 months and not 18. but Micah, who is the older one, he was watching, you know, some show, and his parents, Ben and Robin, said that he could watch the end of the movie or something like that, but he had to be in bed by like 7:30. And so I was like, all right, perfect. And so when I actually tell him, like, all right, Micah, it's time to go to bed. He's supposed to brush his teeth, and he's straight up lies to me. I'm like, Micah, did you brush your teeth? And he's like, yeah, I did. And I was like, are you sure you did? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I could tell he was lying, you know, because he had that little grin on his face. And then I was like, well, wouldn't it be fun to brush them again? He's like, okay. So you had to kind of like use that kind of logic with him. So that's my experience with the brushing the teeth. But anyways, just wanted to put that little story out there to kind of lighten the mood.
I get it. I tell people I don't like other people's kids. I like my kid. And I think that's fair. I expect, you know, people not necessarily to like my kid, but to like their kids. That's cool with me. Yeah, I mean, my son, he's awesome. He's not a little shit, right? There's some kids that are just little shits. And they come over to someone else's house, and they jump on the furniture, they break stuff, they spill things. My son does not do that. He was raised very well. His mother is a tiger mom. I'm like the cool parent, I think, between the two of us, and try to think of creative ways to get my son to do things. So that's kind of the, and it's funny because what you wouldn't think that, but it flipped. Somewhere along the way, I became the cool parent But it's probably because my son's mother is in the trenches with him on a daily basis. So that's likely has something to do with it. Justin, you are a fairly new parent.
I am. I'm a 2.5 year vet now of being a parent of an amazing daughter.
A vet. I love that.
You know, you can't imagine, you can't know what it's like until you go through it. You know, there's a phase of, you know, in, you know, the traditional kind of phase as you go through relationships, marriage, you commit yourself to someone, but those can't end. To me, there's not an end of being a parent. And so as much as being in a relationship with someone, you want to become a better person through that, becoming a parent, you want to become the best person you can, because that's a forever thing. However the relationship ends out, there's a connection there that's not going to go away. And it's interesting, you know, the dog comparison is always one that's tricky, but there's so many things that do come in common with it. We always, you know, people are joking like, oh, at this phase, kids are easier. At this phase, dogs are easier. But there's nothing like this morning when my daughter just said, "Daddy, need a hug," and you get that. So that's what makes all of the harder parts of having a younger child completely worth it.
Definitely. I was having this conversation actually with my son. He's 12, right? I think I've mentioned that before. And he just started football this week. And, you know, he was talking about how much a pain in the butt it was the first day. And I was like, son, you know, some things that you really want to do in life are going to come with overhead. Look at you. You know, I was like, look at you. Your mother and I, we had you, and you came with all kind of overhead. But we love you to death, you know? So he was like, ouch, Dad, ouch. But I'm just, you know, I'm very candid with my son, and we have really cool conversations. But I just want him to know that, you know, he's loved and adored, but his mother and I will, you know, drop the hammer on him from time to time just to keep him on the right track.
Like the Thor hammer or?
A figurative hammer.
Just curious.
His mother's tiger mom, I told you. Justin, you mentioned, you know, those relationships end, and I've mentioned, I think you're on the show before, that, you know, my son's mother and I are not together. We haven't been together for, I don't know, 10 years. 10 years now we have been actually divorced, but we're friends, we're cool, we're, you know, we'd probably, you know, if we got both invited to the same wedding, we'd probably, you know, be all dancing together, and just, it's like a village type of atmosphere, very Brady Bunch, simply because, you know, my son's mother, she ticks a little different, just like me. So she reminds me of Mary Poppins. And, you know, I'm like, I got lucky with the mother of my child. I just love the relationship that my son has with his mother. And as someone who didn't have a relationship with his mother, I adore it. I value it so much. But now that my son's 12, you know, we got to have those conversations.
About other kinds of relationships.
About other kinds of relationships, about, you know, hey, you know, you're coming, those hormones are hitting, your voice is going to get deeper, your body's going to start to fill out, you're going to, you know, the world's going to project certain expectations upon you as a man, and, you know, you really need to be thinking about, you know, some of the decisions that you're going to be making, because it's going to happen quick, fast, and in a hurry, right? Six more years, he's considered an adult. And Justin, you said that, you know, you never stop being a parent. And that's so true. But at some point, you know, I'll have a conversation and be like, well, you know, you're a man first, son. You know, no longer my baby boy. And that's, I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, for me, one of the things is everyone, I think, assumed, again, kind of under tradition, oh, you must want a boy. You know, carry on the name, carry on this. I didn't know, really, but a lot of the fathers I spoke to that had daughters or had sons and daughters made comments around if you invest enough, there can be a really special relationship with a father and a daughter. And I felt that, you know, for my wife, she had to have a C-section. And so there was a lot of recovery time in that. And I was fortunate enough, the company we worked for allowed some paternity leave. And so I was able to stay home for the first month. And a lot of that was me doing the heavy lifting at that stage. You know, my wife has certainly more than made up for that since then. But that was some time I got to invest early on in her life and connect with her. And then had to go back to work, right? And so I, there'd be the times where I left before she got up and I got home right at dinner and bedtime. And that's the way things used to be. But we're recording now in the time of COVID, where we went home to work. And I went home before she was walking. And she's 2.5 and running around like crazy now. She just got home from ballet class. But I got to see her first steps because I was home around lunchtime. I got to be around for breakfasts and getting her up almost every day. So there's gifts that have come out of this pandemic and the situation we're in that I will never or could never have imagined that would have come out of it. So you talk a lot, D-Ray, about thriving in the pandemic. I can look at mine and see some positives and some negatives across the board. But there is nothing that even comes close to outweighing the positives of being around for her and being around my wife and having that time together.
So I'm going to kind of pose this question because I think it's also important to have space, right? From, you know, have time to get away, do your own thing, something along those lines. Do you think that's made it, I guess, do you agree that it's important to have that spacing, whether it's from family, kids, you know, to have that personal me time? Do you agree that that's maybe important, or do you think that COVID has kind of made that a challenge and now you're not sure that it is important?
I think that's a very fair question. I was chatting with some colleagues the other day and they're like, I want to be in the office because that's my time to escape and get away from, you know, this crazy family of mine. But I like what you said, Justin, about, you know, you being able to be there.
Yeah.
Because I think just kind of as a society, we undervalue that, right? That like you're the opportunity cost for you to go to work every day is you missing those things. And your child will not remember, but you will. And you have to live with that. So space is good and all that. But, you know, once that ball's rolling and that child is in this world, you know, there are going to be some things that you're going to want to, you know, 15 years from now, they may come and ask, hey, you know, Dad, did you see my first steps? And then you say, oh, I was at work. You know, or were you here for this? I had to go on this trip. You know, eventually you're going to have those conversations with that same little baby that you were holding, cradling. And that time's going to go and you'll never get that back. Like I tell people all the time, I want to be a stay-at-home dad. So, you know, if my girlfriend's listening, I need you to get out here and make the bacon.
So D-Ray, what I'm going to do for you there is just go ahead and note down 14 minutes and I'm going to clip that section. We'll post it on social media. We'll tag her. So she sees it. And if she doesn't, we'll run ads specifically targeting her. So she sees that content.
Thank you, Austin.
Got it.
Space is important, and having contemplative time for yourself is important. And it was an adjustment. My wife and I still, this podcast is an example. I asked her for some space this morning, and I had to give up an opportunity cost of seeing my daughter at ballet this morning. But it was something that I felt I needed some space, right, to do something different that wasn't work. It wasn't part of this or part of that. It fulfilled something else in me. And part of the evolution through this pandemic has been my wife and I having that conversation. Hey, I need to go for a run. Go for it. I need to go on a trip here with some friends or just go have a beer with Austin and meet up with him finally. Whatever those are, you had to be willing to ask for that space and be gracious enough to grant it and go, absolutely, let me be there for you right now. You go take that time and that space. I like being in the office. There's a certain energy there and a level of relationship that's easier for me to build there. I like the more balanced work life we're moving toward, where there's not 5 days in the office, 10-hour days every day. And people understanding we can do a lot of the other stuff at home. And I can do that later. I can do that earlier in the day. I can do it when I have space. But I get to have breakfast with my daughter. I get to have dinner with my daughter now and see her and be around her and be with my wife and not have to worry about catching this or making sure I deliver that. That space is important, though. We all need it, I think. And denying yourself that is going to lead to a crash ending.
I agree. That's going to make you, you're going to be reinvigorated. It's like anything else, sometimes you just need just a little bit of a break, come back better.
So Austin, I had a question for you. Yeah. Just as being, throughout this, we've gotten to know coworkers in a bit differently. And part of that, right now I've learned to lock my door back behind me because my daughter has learned to open those. But we've gotten to know a different side of a lot of our coworkers through this. I think we talked about in the last episode, we sometimes we can put on a facade at work of who we are. D-Ray made a comment about wearing shirt and tie. I'm not sure if that was about my bow tie or not, but we put on that at work. We put on our work shirt and go to work. We've gotten to see people without that. We've gotten to see dogs jump in laps or kids run in and need opening of a juice box or whatever it is. What is that like from your perspective in getting to know people that way and their family?
I think it's great because when you know somebody's full selves, you get to know them on a more personal level. You become more invested in that relationship and wanting to see them succeed, wanting to see them win. And plus, I think it shows that we're human, right? And I think one of the frustrating things that I have is there's still a lot of demand for people to be on video calls. And I think sometimes we just need to know that we don't have to be on video all the time. If you've got life happening, maybe you didn't get any sleep the night before because your kid was up sick or, variety of different factors, dog kept barking, whatever that is. Maybe you don't look your best, and having to be on camera is a little bit, ridiculous. But for me, I just think you've got to extend people grace, right? Everyone's got a completely different situation than you, whether they're homeschooling kids while babysitting another, while working 8 to 10 hours a day, feeding their kids during that time. Maybe they have a special needs child that needs more attention. And so life can be a lot more difficult for people, I think, working from home. And so I think as we continue this hybrid environment, just understand that everyone has a completely different background and experience than you when it comes to working from home. And so, something that we say with Cautious Coffee is meet people where they are. Right. And understand that. Overall, I think it's been a positive experience and it allows you get to almost have a peek inside the curtain and see people who they are at home. And I think that, that gives a more accurate reflection of who they are as people, because I think you can put a facade on at work for, 8 hours a day. But when your kid runs in behind screen or your dog jumps up on your lap or something like that, you get to see what makes people tick, what makes people happy. And I think that's incredibly awesome.
It makes me think back. I think maybe it was CNN or CNBC or one of them had an analyst on years ago.
The Korea interview. Yeah.
Yeah, it was given an interview and their kid ran in. And at first, the reactions were strange. Some people just thought it was cute.
Yeah.
Some were like, that was incredibly unprofessional. Can't believe that. And to see where we've come in this short time to where, most of my coworkers know my daughter's name because she comes in so often, or she had, and we learn more about them. I've got an employee that had to watch their kids through a lot of the virtual at home schooling in the same room that they were working in. And seeing people just incorporate that into their life, their work life. It's been pretty impressive to see people adapt the way they have.
Why can't that be normal, right? That why don't we value family, you know, more in that way? We talk to it. You know, people go to work every day as if it's like a, you know, it's a sacrifice. And we think that there aren't any, you know, implications of that. You know, when you have this longing that maybe it's buried deep down inside of you that you have to leave, you know, your spouse or your significant other and your children every single day, even your dog. Think about the increase in quality of life, being able to spend that extra time with them or just see them, what that does for you. There's this whole thing going on in your subconscious. And I don't think we value that enough. So we got to see it on a mass scale. You know, and yes, there are some stressors that are going on, but a lot of folks in my sphere of influence, you know, they just, you know, a bit more smiley, a bit more happy with, you know, being able to spend that additional time just in on the margin with their children and their spouses or dogs.
I think part of it is we've always been taught there's got to be a work-life balance, right? And that you shouldn't take work home with you, you know, because sometimes work can be stressful. And when you take that home and you vent over the dinner table or something like that, or, you know, maybe you're short with your kids because you've had an incredibly stressful day, that can be, you know, kind of difficult. I remember growing up, my dad would come home from work and, you know, we'd have dinner at like 6 o'clock as a family. And that was great. But, you know, we'd hear about his day. We'd hear about the people that he was complaining about, why his day wasn't the best. And, you know, stress was a huge part of his work career. And I don't know. I feel like there was some sort of change. I don't know if it was COVID or if it was a little bit before, but I don't know. I feel like we could still have that separation, but still show our full selves, right? And that we are maybe more comfortable talking about our home life with coworkers, because I think it allows you to understand people better and maybe what makes them tick.
So I'm just going to push back a little bit on that. You know, there was a point in time in evolution where the whole family worked, right? That's kind of was a thing. As soon as you could walk, you were out helping somebody do something. And I think we may have gotten too far away from that. I don't necessarily know there needs to be some boundaries in there. I get it, but you spend a third of your life at work. Why wouldn't you come home and talk about it with your family? That doesn't make sense to me. And maybe it became a thing because, you know, at one point in time, or became normalized at one point in time, because, you know, the wife typically would stay home and maybe she didn't want to hear about work, but that seems odd. I don't understand it. Maybe, Justin, you have more insight on it than I do. I don't see a problem with talking about work at the dinner table, even with my children, or just explaining to them. If I can explain this to a 3-year-old, right? I'm sharpening my own communication skills, aren't I?
It's a relatively new problem, I think, to your point. This work-life balance, they weren't separate things for most of the existence of human beings. We worked and then we slept. And so this is new. This is the most rest time, the most free time human beings have ever had in our history. What do we choose to do with it? And to your point, I could choose to sit in front of my TV or stare at my phone, or I can be present with my family. And I'm fortunate enough that my wife is a mental health therapist. So when I bring my work to the dinner table, I think Austin made a great point. Am I going to just vent and complain? Or am I going to have, to your point, a conversation about it and say, hey, this happened. What do you think? I said this, or I want to address it this way. What do you think? And she comes from one, just an incredibly educated point of view around it, and can see the nuance in a lot of it. She also doesn't have all the baggage I have with it around who I think this person is or what they did last week. She gets a neutrality that's really good. And I hope someday to have what you're having, the same conversation with my daughter. If I can talk about something I'm going through, that opens the door for her to talk about what's going on in her life one day. And that's going to be, to me, so critical. I don't think when I was a child, we had conversations like that. My parents were teachers, so we talked about school and education. We had good conversations, but I'm not sure we talked about what was going on with us. We talked about things a lot. I don't know that we talked about relationships or feelings a lot.
I made a post one recently, something to your point about how we as parents, we want to protect our children, right? We want to keep all the, we don't want to talk about the boogeyman. We don't want to talk about like the garbage in the back or, climate change. We don't want to talk about all the bad things that are going on. And that gives our children a really skewed view of life. And, my own experience growing up is that, my dad, he only gave me, 15 or 20% of that manual, right, of how to conduct myself in life. And then everything else I get to go out and figure out on myself, figure out for myself. And then I just came to the realization that it doesn't matter who it is. It could be a mentor. It could be a coach. It could be my dad, my mother, anyone who's lived or had an experience. They can only give you a framework. It is not the gospel. Right? It's not the gospel. So being able to have those conversations where, you're thinking about different things, even, how we had an episode on leadership. Well, it's not necessarily the gospel. It's a framework for you to work off of. How we parent. I look at myself as my son's guide. That's how I look at myself. I'm not like this authoritarian figure for him. I'm to guide him through life and provide him with the best framework that I can for him to work off of and make decisions and to be a free thinker. So it only makes sense for me to have those conversations at the dinner table, whatever's going on in my life. So I can have conversations, even though it may be about like Fortnite or Minecraft, about what's going on in his life. So I don't know why there needs to be, a boundary or a barrier between that. Like let's, especially in a marriage, right? A marriage, like that's great. You should, that's a little partnership. Hey, business partner, wife, this is what's going on in my life. What do you think? Because this is impacting me.
And what impacts me impacts us, right? Exactly. And so I think you've mentioned it on the podcast before. I know we've talked about it in person or in virtual person recently, the coddling of the American mind, kind of that approach of introducing challenge and introducing the ability to handle that challenge. You talked about the last episode about the conversation you had with your son in football, I think, or maybe it was this episode already. I don't know. They blend together. Yeah, but they do. I think.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, now that I'm on video, it's harder. I can't just be the empty voice in the back. When you introduced a level of conversation with him, that's a new level for a child like that to go, but he was open enough and he felt safe enough to tell you in the first place how he was feeling. So you've laid the groundwork already for him to bring that up. And then you respected him enough as a child, as a human being that's developing, to challenge him and go, you're allowed to feel that, but also realize this and think about this part of it, that this is part of what you're going through. And to have that level of conversation with a 12-year-old is impressive.
They are really inquisitive creatures. They're super intelligent. They're capable. They're very capable little creatures, even if they can't, they might make a mess from time to time. But it's like, well, they've never been here before. So what do you expect? My son came home from football practice the other day, and he said, "Mom, I'm tired. I didn't sleep well last night, so I'm not going to football practice today." And she turned him right around. And I sent him a text message, "Hey, son, you're not always going to be able to get a good night's sleep and have to perform the next day. Okay, welcome to life." And I don't necessarily need to do that on a continual basis, but I want to challenge him. I want to introduce him to some struggle because my son has a really wonderful life. You know, I think about all the resources he has, but the gift of struggle he does not have. So I'm trying to figure out a way. How do I introduce that to him in a way that's kind and considerate, right? I don't want to break my son down by any means or have any toxic type of interactions with him. I just want him to be able to understand that he's capable. I want him to see that he is capable. He can do it, but he has to be willing.
You gave me a thought. Is we talk about work-life balance, all right? That's the new phrase, but it's really just life balance. This is life. How do I, is my life balanced? Do I have all of the different pieces I need to feel balanced across my life? Some of that's work, because I get something out of work. You know, it's not just something where I go and I clock in and clock out, collect my check, and don't care about it. I care about it. I care about the people I work with and around and for. It's part of that life. My family, my wife, my child, my dog, they're part of that life.
It's all living, baby. It's all living.
Am I putting enough deposits in all of those different buckets to be fulfilled in, across the board? Or is it out of balance? If some of that's out of balance, it affects everything else. So I think this, we look at it very, this binary of work-life, and it's a bit faulty.
And then that could create like issues. Like, why are you talking about work? Or why are you talking about, you know, you guys are arguing about stupid stuff. But, you know, Sir Richard Branson says he doesn't look as work as work and play as play. It's all living. And I love it. I love it. And I think about like you on the trade floor, the entrepreneurial spirit, how leaders and organizations need to look at their employees as, hey, little entrepreneurs, right? You let them own a piece of the business. They take it. They have the autonomy to make decisions within it. Why am I forcing them to drive here? Yeah, well, they don't necessarily need to. They can make those decisions. Maybe they come in and collaborate, or, you know, I just need to be mindful that the status quo, like I need to look at it. I need to reexamine it at all points in time. And that's even in parenting. It's not, you know, do it because I said it. My son can ask me why about anything, and I'm going to give him an explanation. I owe him an explanation. And, you know, I was raised that way, you know, because I said so. Well, that's Neil deGrasse Tyson says that's intellectually lazy. And I don't ever want to do that, whether I'm parenting, whether I'm at work, whether I'm with my team in the military, whether I'm with my, you know, my girlfriend, whomever. Like, I owe them that explanation.
You know, while you were saying that, and I was reflecting back on Justin talking about, you know, how he was able to see his daughter walk, talk, go to ballet, all of that because of working from home. D-Ray, I know we've talked about opportunity cost on this podcast a lot. So I'm in consulting now. So I've got a bill rate. So I know what I get paid. Well, not what I get paid, but what the company gets paid for my services on an hourly basis. I just did a calculation on my phone of the commute time and extrapolated that data out for a year. The time that I was sitting in my car pre-COVID essentially cost the company six figures. I think the number that I had out is like $144,400. And again, that's a rough calculation, but that's $144,000 worth of contribution that we're losing from, you know, commuting. And so if you flip that around, you're gaining $144,000 or more annually in time. And that's time that you can allocate to your family, to your kids, to your pets, to your friends, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, that commute doesn't need to be part of the deal, right? I want that time back. I'm going to be selfish and stingy with my time because it's mine, and they don't make more of it. And I'm going to be unapologetic about it, quite honestly.
For me, the choice was really easy. It was an investment in family for me. I talked to a lot of dads. I talked to a lot of moms when I was going into this because I wanted to know what was going on. What? Give me your one kernel of wisdom. going into this. And one of my new good friends at work, the business that we work for, said, "Hey, I've got two kids. The first one, I was a workaholic. I went back a week after he was born, worked my full trader shift, which is all day, went home and thought about it. Wasn't a part of a lot of what happened early in his life. When I had my daughter, he was in a different part of his career and life. And he's like, I spent a lot more time with her. And now that they're both, you know, I think probably about 5-6 years older, he said, there's a remarkable difference in our relationships. And he goes, it's great because I have this, you know, I have a very, very strong relationship with my daughter. And he goes, but I see how it's different because I wasn't there. And I think we made a point earlier that the kid doesn't remember it. Probably not, you know, not as a memory as we think about it, but they feel it. They can feel that relationship difference. And that investment in time, and whether it's your, again, you're a child or a spouse or other family member, you can really change the level of those relationships by investing in them more.
We undervalue all of it. You know, and we overvalue work, and maybe there's an unwillingness to, you know, pay that parenting tax. That's what it is, right? Regardless if you're a man or a woman, if you're investing that time, energy, and effort into your family, you know, or your work, like, there's going to be a trade-off and a tax one way or the other. And I think as a society, you know, if we look at all the mental health issues, you know, we can kind of get an idea of what's happening, you know, being overworked as a society. So I'm glad that, you know, there's light being shined on and folks are hopefully, you know, paying more attention to their families and valuing that time a lot more. And that's a great example, Justin. Something I think about, quite honestly, because, you know, the military kept me away a lot, traveling a lot, and I missed a lot in my son's, you know, his childhood. And I would be there as much as I could. But even now, you know, 5 years I've been in Houston, and he comes for the summers, and it's great, but I'm not in the trenches with him. So we have a different relationship, and I try to just stay engaged with him through text and talk to him on the phone. We have very candid conversations and fill in the gaps where his mother, you know, maybe lost. But I really just want to, I think about, well, what if I have another kid? What if I have another kid? I said earlier, hey, I want to be a stay-at-home dad. You know, or at least, you know, swap years out, switch years. We alternate years who gets to stay at home because I value fatherhood so much. You know, where I'm willing to, hey, take these golden handcuffs and, you know, throw them in the lake, because it's going to mean more to spend that time with my children or my spouse.
I've seen you be so intentional with the time you do have, though. It's not idle parenting. It's not idle time together. You know, we had talked and set up a time to go have lunch a while back, and you brought your son with you, which I thought was awesome. He got to be a part of the conversation. He got to see us interact. He got to be part of that. And anytime I talked to you about what were you doing, it was, oh, we're doing this. We're doing that. It's not, I did this and he was there, or he sat on his phone the whole time. You take the time you have and you're intentional about it. And I think that pays off. And that's something he's going to feel, and he knows that it's there.
Yeah, I'm hoping that wears off on him a little bit. You know, I just want him to understand that that just generally in life is how you should be. Just very intentional and candid. Yep, it's okay. You don't want to do that? Okay, now tell me why. And so he may ask me why. No, he's going to have to tell me why. This is how it works when you're intentional. I don't know. I know that if I do have another child, though, yeah, I may leave the workforce, quite honestly, just for a while. I think there are just too many other ways to make money or do things. And my career, like, it's cool, but then at the end of the day, like, what do I have to show for it? And retirement is wonderful. It's like people in the military, they always talk about retirement. And I'm like, gosh, there's so much life in between that time. you're going to trade off a lot of life. I don't know if you have. I think you need to flip that and think about how valuable that time will be with friends and family. I remember deploying and being away from friends and family. I'll never deploy again. I'll never do it. I loved the experience and time with, my detachment, but I want to be at home. I want to be with friends and family and people that I love and care about.
I think it's about role modeling. We just had a very senior commercial leader in our organization decide to step away. And he's not a young man and he's not an old man. He's probably in the prime of his career earning potential curve. And well-respected, built this part of the business in large part off his view of kind of team and working that way together. So it's quite a loss. But the reason was, I want to take a year off with my family. I think that this pandemic and this situation showed someone that probably really grinded at work to get where he was and do, and especially in the field he's in the trading field, that he spent a lot of time away from them. And you start to see that value and that payoff and investment. And I think, I know him well-ish. I'd love to have a conversation with him and see where he got. But I imagine I want more of that. And I can't do that right now with the work I have. So he said, I'm stepping away. I'm not retiring. He has kind of come to an agreement where he'll work back with us in the future, but he wants to go get a boat, spend time with his family, enjoy it, enjoy his kids, enjoy his wife, and be there and just be there, be with them and start to make up for some of the time that he wasn't. And I thought that was absolutely inspiring as a senior leader. And gave people that example. Whether they can, maybe they don't choose to step away completely, but they go, I can invest more time there and limit my time at work and just really focus on the important things at work, get the same amount of stuff done, and then focus over here too.
Well, it's really important too, because we don't know how much time we have on this planet, right? I mean, we could be 100 years old, we could die tomorrow. And so do what makes you happy. If it's spending time with family, friends, quitting work for a year, 2 years, staying home to raise your children, do it. Do what makes you happy, because you never know when your clock ends, when it strikes midnight. So I think that's just incredibly important to know what you value. Go after it.
Is that a Cinderella reference?
Clock strikes midnight, yeah.
Maybe. Or was it Shrek? I don't know.
Both. I think Shrek was a reference of Cinderella, but or maybe that's what
I just don't know where you pulled it from.
The show.
But I definitely have those values. Don't just follow what you've seen, like what you saw your dad do, or his dad do, or your peers do. And it's very competitive. I got it. But once you decide to have children, you're playing a different game now, right? You're no longer just in it for yourself to thrive and win and succeed. That isn't how we keep score now, right? What you do in your professional life when you become a parent, that's no longer, that now takes a backseat to you as a parent. And if your children do not find their purpose, this is going to be my takeaway. If they don't find their purpose, if you have not guided them to it, to where they are productive members of society, you have failed as a parent. And I said what I said, right? If my son gets to a point and he's not being a productive member of society, so that's very vague. I'm keeping it very vague. Then I failed, right? I get an F as a parent.
I think that's how you have to approach it. There's a level of ownership you have to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that outcome, despite the randomness, despite the lack of control, there's a lot of context and you get to set. There's a the most influential person in their life should be you, and the parents. I shouldn't be a teacher, shouldn't be someone on TV or an idol hero of theirs. If you set the right example and are there with them through it, you play the largest part in whether they end up there or not.
It's on you to figure it out. That's the thing, right? Yeah, as a leader, like, I can't lead all my people the same way. If I have multiple children, I can't engage them all the same way because they're different people. You know, my father raised two boys, and we went opposite directions. But that's because he tried to raise us the same way. And how he raised us, I was receptive to it. And my brother wasn't. He rejected it. And my dad just kept trying to do the same thing. And I tell my dad, I share with him, you failed him. You know, because I think I mentioned earlier in a previous episode, I speak to my father as a man first before he's my father. And I'm also a father too now. And I have my own, you know, views and perspectives. And as I've gone out in the world, things that I've seen. And I'm candid with them in that way. So if I have four children and only two of them are amazing, well, I still, that's a failing grade still. But the parenting shit I take seriously.
Well, I think it's been great to, you know, to hear both of your experiences, and I don't know, hope people gain something from, you know, listening to this episode of the podcast.
I think it's just finding life balance.
Amen. Okay, that's it. Justin, it was great having you once again. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. Austin, you're quiet, but that's okay. It's totally understandable.
I also had some audio and technical issues.
Yes, but you so worked through it.
Go off for 10
you
worked minutes.
Through it. You are a shining star. If you want to reach us, you can find us at cautiouscoffee.com. Reach out to us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. We have a TikTok, though I'm TikTok hesitant. Feel free to engage, ask us questions, tell us where we're right, wrong, call us names, or don't. Give us compliments. That works too, but we're here for all of it, right? Because we're just here trying to people with you. So until next time, this is Cautious Coffee.